Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Niall from Bat Minute.
I'm John from Bat Minute.
Welcome back, Bat Minute. Welcome, Bat Minute. John and Niall from the Bat Minute podcast. So we're on minute 57. We're excited to have them back. These are our friends from across the pond. And you sound like you're in the same room with us.
Yeah, it's impressive.
We are. You shipped us over, didn't you?
Oh, it's so expensive. You guys are so expensive to have on as guests. It's not good. That,
we tried to save you a little bit by coming by boat instead of plane, but it took a while.
Sorry, I only could afford a rowboat.
That's why the entire season of Bat Minute Returns has been done while we were on that boat. So like, we got a lot of work done, to be fair.
To be honest, this season has been unlistenable for the ambient noise outside. Just so you know. This minute begins with an opportunity for Ambrose and ends with McCloy trying to crack a window. So you get more McCloy minutes.
Hey.
What's funny is as I was going through this, I was like, oh my God, I gave Niall and John minutes that have no Ethan Hunt at all. Well, there is a face of Ethan Hunt, but it is, we'll learn later, it's not Ethan Hunt.
Oh, it's spoilers. It's
bum. What? We gave you guys only all the foreign people. I'm like, perfect.
Well, that's one of the things, though. I don't know what I'm getting, because it becomes more prominent next minute, really, but like, I have questions about casting and accents and stuff.
Yeah, yes. Maybe Stamp and his accent, what he's doing. He's doing an accent. We talked about this last week. Father David was like, is he doing South African? And we go, we think so, because he's not South African. He's British, right?
He's pretty good at the accent, I think. It's not perfect.
You tell me. Yeah. To me, it sounds put on, but I was like, okay. I mean, I guess he's South African in this. Again, something else they don't bring up and is never a thing. It's just a choice, I guess, the actor made.
South African accents are quite strong like that, though, I think. I know a couple of South African people, and it's very strong. Like you would. So it might sound a bit put on, but they do tend to be quite in your face with the accent there.
Yeah, it's got a lot of hard vowels. A lot of everything's kind of like, you know, it goes down. It's like got like a thump to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, according to the IMDb trivia on Richard Roxburgh, he assumes a different accent and octave level for each character, with his characters' voices ranging from the wimpy screech he used as the Duke for Moulin Rouge to his rich, deep Romanian accent as Dracula in Van Helsing.
Okay. Doing good work, I guess. Yeah. It's kind of like
I forgot he was also in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I think maybe that's why his career's not, because he had a couple of like movies that I don't know. This movie was this a hit? This film, it was pretty big. But was
this
it
one? This one? Oh yeah, it was the biggest. Oh, yeah. It was the biggest Mission Impossible until Fallout.
It was huge.
Oh. Oh, crap.
Box office wise, it was a smash, and they still waited 4 years for the third one.
I think it was a combination of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Van Helsing, and Stealth that did his career in.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Stealth.
Because he really vanishes for like a long, long time. Like, it's just like there was a period where it was like Richard Roxburgh was just everywhere, and then he's just like, nope, he's gone. Well, actually, like a lot of the actors in this though, like Duke Ray Scott again, it's like, oh, he's gonna be big. Nah. Forget about that. And Thandie Newton was for years was just in the ether, and now she's back. Like she's kind of relaunched as like Westworld, and she keeps popping up and stuff. Now it's like she's sort of come back around after a good like 10. I think she did like 2012, but then many people even watch that. So
no, she went in her bios and stuff. She went back to college. After these movies, because she wasn't getting parts, she kept getting typecast.
Oh.
or not getting hired because she has this accent. Mm. Like, she was in America, and she went to Hollywood, and they would not give... I guess maybe she doesn't do a good American accent? I don't know. She's fine on Westworld.
Oh. Well,
I don't know. At the time, you know, it was a different time, so, you know, they were probably like, we literally have to have Americans play Americans.
Yeah.
And she went home. She went back to England and went to college.
Well, that still makes me think of the, because I know they've been talking about it on Star Wars Minute, but I'm still am perplexed as to why. Like, I can't imagine Daisy Ridley doing an American accent. So she's English in The Force Awakens, but John Boyega is also English, but he's doing an American accent. So there must have been a discussion at some point where they're like, all right, one of you is going to have to do an American accent because we can't have two English leads in this movie.
I think that's what it was. They don't want two English leads, but they love them as actors. So it's like, well, someone's got to do an American thing.
Yeah.
And they rock, scissors, paper did it. And they're like, all right, who can do one? And John Boyega was like, I do a good one. And they're like, all right, good. Perfect. And his is great. Most of middle America would not know John Boyega is British if they didn't know.
No, exactly. I think that when they see him talk, you know, on TV, or if they see him in like an Attack the Block, that they're like, what? Mm. You know?
I think that's a gift of English actors in particular. Because if you ever see American actors playing an English person, you know. Yeah. But then for like when I was watching The Wire, I had no idea Idris Elba was English. Like I was just like, that man is from Baltimore. And then finally I was like, no, he's not. He's English.
I think there was a point in the 90s where people thought that like Gwyneth Paltrow was British, but she's the only one that I think that's ever had that issue.
Don't get me started on that accent. So.
Oh, I know.
It's as an American, I would like to apologize to all of you for the accent that Gwyneth Paltrow does. and that we think it's good.
Speaking of accents, though, Brendan Gleeson's accent.
Ah, that's what I was going to say myself.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, now, what is he doing in this? Let's talk about this minute.
He's trying to do an English voice, because it does come up at one point saying his character is from Manchester. It's not like a Manchester accent, but, you know, okay, he's like a big CEO. Maybe he's, you know, he's posh. Posh people just have their own way of speaking. but it gets better throughout the film. But in this particular series of minutes we've got, what the hell is he doing? He just sounds Irish. It just keeps slipping
It struck me from like the second he came on screen. Because I know Brendan Gleeson so well, because he's a big, big actor in Ireland.
Because he lives in the town you live in, because you all live in the same place.
But Brendan Gleeson is big, big stuff now, because he's like freaking Mr. Mercedes, had his own TV show there for two seasons.
He was in the most highly rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes, Paddington 2.
Yeah, Knuckles McGinty. He's great in it as well.
It is. He is great. That movie still has a perfect rating, by the way.
Still. Good stuff. Holy crap. Yeah.
It's the greatest movie ever made. I love it.
It is. It's genuinely, if you have a beef with Paddington 2, it's like you need to re-examine your values if you have a problem with this film.
We can't be friends if you don't like Paddington 2. There, I've said it on the podcast.
I haven't watched it, so I'm still in the middle.
Do you like Joy? Do you like Joy?
It will completely reevaluate Hugh Grant in your eyes. After that, I was like, I love Hugh Grant now. He was amazing in that film. I was like, oh, hell with him. But like,
I started liking Hugh Grant when he threw a can of beans at photographers.
What a British thing to do. One, that he had a can of beans.
I think it was from his window as well. He just leant out the window and threw it at them.
I love that. That's awesome. That's so British.
But Brendan's accent here, it is from the word go. I think this is the first time he kind of speaks in the movie. Well, the end of the previous minute as well. But so there's this whole thing at Biosite, your life is our life's work.
It's like our life's work. It like becomes super Irish.
But it's the perpetual question of like, why make why not just hire an English actor, or why not just make his character Irish?
Who cares?
It doesn't affect the plot in any way whatsoever.
Let's say it might have been a thing in the early 2000s. It's like, no one's going to believe that an Irish...
And I'm thinking, you know, most Americans don't know the difference. And that's the sad part. You know, that they're like, oh, he's got an accent. He must be British or wherever they're at. He's Australian. That's what he is. Yeah. You know, I mean, they just believe it.
I think that was what was confusing, is that they're in Australia. And maybe they said, we need you to do something that's like everyone else has kind of a British accent going. Like we've got a South African British accent. We've got Domhnall Gleeson doing whatever the hell that Welsh accent is. You know, this kind of muck guttural thing inside of his mouth. And then, we've got, we're like, it's too many. It's one too many. We now have to have you do another one. He's like, why can't it just be Irish?
My only explanation I can come up with to try and play devil's advocate, my headcanon is, Manchester, which it says his character is from, it's much like Liverpool. There's a lot of Irish people there.
Okay.
So let's assume maybe his family are Irish. They've moved to Manchester. So he's kind of got a weird thing going on with his accent. He grew up in an Irish household, but around English people. So I'm just going to go with that. That explains everything to me.
That's not a bad idea, actually. I'm glad we had you guys on for this, so we can now from now on say it all makes sense in universe.
Yeah. I have met people in real life as well who have been from like rural areas or sort of like more areas that have heavier accents and stuff, but they'll talk in a very posh voice and stuff. And it's been like they'll one of them in particular told me like, oh yeah, I've had to train myself to talk, you know, not talk in my regional accent and stuff, because it was an affectation kind of thing. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to be sound like that. I want to sound like a, you know, respected, educated, a bit like in Battlestar Galactica with Gaius Baltar. At one point, he comes out with like, this isn't my real voice. I actually talk like this, but to escape that world, I've put on a different voice and stuff.
Well, you guys do that same. You guys have that same classist thing going on that we have. I mean, Americans do the same thing. I mean, I have a Southern accent. So does Chris. Mine's less pronounced than people where I'm from in Tennessee. It's less pronounced than them because of they stayed there and I left. But I definitely think about it when I'm talking. I don't speak like I don't talk. I could easily talk, you know, like with a drawl. and I don't. I just never have. I didn't stop doing it. I just didn't do it originally.
I've mentioned on Batman several times. Like the voice I'm using now is not the way I normally talk. I am enunciating a lot more, because if I came on and talked the way I normally talk, people wouldn't understand me. And it was a genuine concern when we started the podcast. It's like, I don't know. We could come out with like good content, but then people might not understand the accent. So it would have been like, the show is just going to bomb.
Because your accent, when you talk faster and a different and more, I guess, well, for lack of a better term, more Irish.
Yeah, pretty much. When I first moved to England, there was a couple of months of people just been like, what? And then like after a while, I kind of got down to like, oh no, the sort of people's ears adjusted to it and stuff. And
that happens. When I've been to Ireland, I went with my parents and we stayed at like a nice hotel. In the nice hotel, everyone spoke, you know, with an Irish accent, but it was understandable. But then we also went with a friend to a wedding, like just out in the countryside. And I didn't understand half the people there. Because it was just this really fast cadence and different different words being used. It was just, and I was like, I know you're speaking English, and so I would just most of the time nod, because I'm just like, they're being nice, they're being Irish nice. Everyone's having a good time. I'm gonna not be like what. I'm not gonna be that American. So I'm just gonna.
We've all been in similar situations, I think, because I had a weird childhood, so I moved around a lot. I used to live in Pakistan, but I went to an American school in Pakistan.
Wow. Oh my gosh. The accent there must be confusing, muddled.
Yeah, well, they were all 90% of the people there are American. So, and they had trouble understanding me. So that's kind of why I now have this weird neutral accent. It's just generic English. Like, I don't really have any, it's not from a region or anything. I think it's because in my mind, I had to kind of train myself to like, just speak neutrally and then they'll understand you. And it seems
you should be in this movie. You'd be perfect as McCloy.
Yes. Why am I not in this damn film? Someone cast me. Cast me in the next one.
It's like a 13-year-old John Parker should have been playing this 40-something.
It's funny that you say that, because when I first listened to your podcast, I was like, oh, John sounds like stereotypical British. And I had not seen a picture of you. I had never, like, we weren't like friends on Facebook. And and now I'm like, he is not stereotypical British. But when I hear you speak, I was like, oh, he's just like, you know, sitting in a little button up shirt, you know, in front of his microphone. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's not you at all.
Who knows what I'm wearing right now?
I mean, that's when I first heard Neil Brown. I thought like, oh, he's going to make a little dweeby kind of looking guy. And then you see.
Were like, I'm right.
He looks like, he seems like he's built. He looks a bit like Henry Rollins. It's like, oh, what? My God, Neil's like a lot more intense than I assumed that he would be.
Oh, no.
I think Neil Brown is Henry Rollins? He must have been wearing a big bulky sweat top, because I didn't see his guns.
I think it was a photo from like one of the MXM meetups, and it was him sitting with his arms folded with a microphone. It's like, oh, he looks like – it did look completely different from what I assumed he was going to look like. But
he looks exactly what – to me, he looks like he works – in a bank, which is what he was doing.
He exactly looks like that. Neil, we love you. Sorry.
But the thing is, again, though, because there must have been talks, though, and this is always a thing that confuses me, because there's always going to have to be in any film set a moment where they have to talk about, like, okay, that Harrison Ford submarine movie is like, Harrison, are you doing the Russian accent? Or are you not doing the Russian accent? And then, with this, though, there must have been discussions of, like, okay, so Brendan, you need to be English, but Dougray, you can still be Scottish.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why not just make, why isn't he English? Why isn't Brendan Gleeson Irish and stuff? It's, go on every set. Like, again, even going back to, like, Doctor Who, it's like, at some point they had to say to David Tennant, you're Scottish, you have a Scottish accent, but we can't have that in the show. So you're going to have to put on an English accent. And then Peter Capaldi comes along, and they're like, oh, you're fine. You can just do your Scottish accent. It's like, why? Why does he get away with it?
The people were ready for it then, you see.
Yeah, we'd grown up. Americans had grown up, and it's for Americans, right? That's why they're doing this stuff. Because British people don't care, right? Would you guys care if you had a Scottish Doctor Who? Well, oh, maybe no. You would.
No, I mean, we did. No, yeah, nobody minded. But.
We wouldn't care. We wouldn't care. It's weird, though, because I think over here, we don't really call ourselves British very often. People are still very, like, English, Scottish. Like, they're very proud of where they're from. And people separate it a lot. But to the rest of the world, it's like, oh, they're all the same. I don't know.
Yeah, because we're racist. We think it's all one thing, and it's really not. It's like a bunch of countries.
Yeah.
But we all see you
Wales
as the...
technically was never a country, I think.
Yes.
It was a principality, or is a principality, which is different. It's very complicated.
There's a few times where Dave Palace has referred to me as British. And I've been like, let me tell you, Dave, like... Ooh.
There's nothing more insulting than telling an Irishman they're British.
I think he just genuinely, he was like, oh, sorry, I just didn't realize. Like, I'm not offended.
Next time you should call Dave Canadian and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. No. I was gonna try to postulate a theory there, but like, no, I don't know enough about American, specific regional American accents.
No, that's okay. That. Please do, because we always do it to you guys.
It was a thing, though, because I never picked up that Dave had a very specific accent, but he recently sent me a video of James McAvoy putting on a Philadelphia accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, do I sound like this? And I was like, oh, yeah, you do.
He does.
Is that the accent that you have?
I mean, he calls me Jan, like John. It's not John. It's Jan. Jan. It's almost Jan.
I have a friend who calls me that just to be annoying.
Well, I think Dave's doing that, too. Actually, not to be annoying. That's just a Philly thing is to shorten names. You know, it's like, you know, hey, what's going on, D? What's going on, John?
Oh, my God. That's so Liverpool as well. That's what everyone here does. That's crazy.
It's like, just
nobody's
a thing.
Steve. Everyone's Stee.
Oh, that one really. Yeah, I have a friend. Well, we both, me and John, have a mutual friend. A guy called Steve, and everyone else calls him Stee. And I'm like, Steve is already an abbreviation of the name
Steve. Is one syllable.
Yeah. It's like, where are you going to go from there? You're going to call him like...
Oh, I don't like that.
No, I don't
like that. I mean, Chris, do you have a shorter name than Chris? Because he's, you know, he's...
No, I'm just Chris.
We call him Christopher when I'm mad at him, but...
Yeah, my mom calls me Christopher, so I don't like it, so...
I'm going to go with...
That was the I can't remember. Maybe was it you? I think I talked recently to someone about the fact I only recently discovered that Topher Grace's full name is Christopher.
Yes,
Christopher. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't realize. I was like, oh, I thought his name was just Topher, but it's like, no, he's done a flip. He's like, no, I'm not going by Chris. I'm going by Topher.
Like, yeah, the same thing with Ashton Kutcher's name is actually Christopher as well.
What is it?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Oh my god,
Where did he get Ashton from?
I guess he went short with it. I guess they thought Christopher was too common or. Whatnot as an actor, or there may have already been a Christopher Kushner, so they went with Ashton.
Oh,
well, Ashton's not a real word, so I maybe just made it up. Maybe he just decided that's my name now. Like, you know, like some people rename themselves, and you're like, all right, whatever.
Just mash the keyboard and see what comes out.
Like looking around, this is like sees an ashtray, like ash, and then sees like a giant weight that says 1 metric ton or something. He's like, ash. Ton. Ashton, that's my name.
Do you really love Ashton, or are you just looking around the room?
with regards to this movie, I had something I was going to mention here. Hang on, I've lost my notes. Where have they gone? Ah, here we go. Right. Now, when he gets in the car, Brendan, he walks out of the building, he gets into the car. His reaction to the cigar... That is my reaction whenever I've tried smoking. That's absolutely perfect. I don't know why he's doing it, though. Like, Why is
he supposed to be like not liking it, or is he like, oh, I need to open the window? Is that supposed to be my, oh, I need to open the window face? It looks like he hates it.
It looks like he hates it, yeah. That's what I thought. And like, is he just attempting to smoke this obnoxious cigar because that's what rich guys do?
My interpretation of it was that...
Probably some Irishman gave it to him, and he's like, ugh. He's playing the part of his...
Oh, he's the Irish cigar.
Of his English. He's like, ugh.
Because it's just a chunk of turf stuffed into a cigar. That's Pete. What we smoke.
Pete.
Yeah. But my interpretation was that they originally tried, in the capturing of him, they might have drugged his cigar, so he's tasting like, oh, this tastes weird. And then they're like, oh wait, no, we need to do the gas in the thing. That was the only, because I was like, you know, if he likes cigars, why is he so repulsed by this cigar? Like, what's going on?
How great would it be if the cigar is actually the antidote, because the gas they use will kill him unless he's already been pre-doused with the antidote? But they're like, well, that's the only gas we have. We didn't have time to go get the other gas. So have him smoke the cigar, and that'll at least give him the antidote, which tastes terrible.
That might be what it is, actually. That could be a
good thing. And then when he gets the gas, it'll give us the effect we want. If we didn't give him the cigar beforehand, he would just die. Yeah. And that would be useless. I like this.
I do have to say, though, is it just me? And I can't remember if this character pops up more in the movie, but the guy who's abducting him, not George, in the front seat, I was convinced at first sight that was Pedro Pascal. I was like, oh my God, that must have been what he did before, like Game of Thrones and stuff. Like, there he is. The guy looks to me exactly like him.
I thought the same thing. And I was watching this with my partner and turned to her and said, is that him?
No, that's Sweet Simple Billy.
He looks like him.
Maybe it's just in this one shot. Maybe elsewhere in the movie, he doesn't look like him. It might have been the lighting or something.
But... No, when you see him, he is literally like a default Australian guy. You're going to be I thought that guy was Pedro?
It's
just bad lighting. It's really dark, so yeah.
Or good lighting.
Oh, it's good. Any light that makes me look like Pedro Pascal is good lighting.
He's a handsome chap.
He's very handsome.
In the middle of abduction, this Brendan Gleeson is leading through and just crushing his head. It's like, oh, it's the curse of the Pascals.
No.
The only note I had was because he does have the, he sees the newspaper in this minute, doesn't he? Where it's like, it's foretelling his abduction. And I just got like, this would be great if this, in the middle of Mission Impossible 2, this turned into like a backdoor reboot of Early Edition. And like, it just stars Brendan Gleeson now. And for some reason, he's an English guy.
Isn't Early Edition a remake of a British show? English? Was Early Edition an English show first, or was it Us? It's hard to remember sometimes because do a lot of stuff first, and then we're like, ooh.
I'll give it a quick Google because I know just the Kyle Chandler version. I don't know if there was. It's not there. So that was the thing, because I remember at one point getting really hooked on other shows, and then find out years later, I was like, yeah, that was a remake of a thing. I was like, what the hell? Like, That 70s Show is actually appropriately enough a remake of a British show, but obviously it was much more successful in America, because I think it only lasted one season or something in England.
John, Niall just said British.
How dare you?
Well, according to the brief Google I gave, Early Edition is not a remake. It is an original American idea. So you guys, you can claim Early Edition as your own.
All right, Chris, put that up on the tote board. We got one.
Okay. There you go.
It's one show for us.
What tech is in this episode, though? The limo? Does that count as tech?
Yes. Just so you know, last week someone actually made it technique of the ep, so they could just pick something that was overarchingly happening during the scene. Also, tech of the ep could be anything. It could literally be a doorknob. It could be, it could be the clicker that won't allow them to open the window. It could be anything.
Okay.
So, Chris, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with the funky cigar.
Yeah. The funky, this movie's all about diseases and cures. So I assume it's the cure cigar.
Yeah. The cure cigar.
Mm.
There's the name of our episode. And maybe we'll get some people who like the cure.
Yes.
They'll be like, look.
I think I'll go, I don't know if it counts as tech, but I'll go with the insanely long statue in the lobby of the building that Brendan Gleeson walks out of. Yes. It looks like it's just a thing on the wall, but as he's going, it's, no, there's a statue at the top of that. But it's just got a really, really insanely long tapering bottom. So it's like, well, that's weird. Well, don't know why you need a statue that tall. But
I wonder what it's a statue of. We saw it originally when the doctor walked out, but I don't remember what it is. There's a bunch of weird modern art there.
It looks to me, I think it's like, it reminds me of like the cover of one of the later Hellraiser sequels, where I think there's a shot of Pinhead just standing with his arms like that, kind of glowering. So maybe they made a statue of that, and there it is.
That's the Biosite mascot.
Pinhead.
What about you, John?
I'm just going to have to be boring. I'm going to have to pick the limousine. And it's solely because there's no need for this man to have a limousine when he's on his own. You don't sit at the back of a big limo like that. Solo. It's a party thing, isn't it? You have other people, you have drinks. But no, he's that much of a jerk. He's there on his own, and I love that. That's confidence.
I'm also going with a limo. You know what? I want to live in a world. I don't ever want to be like a limo guy, but I think it's funny. He just walks out and just walks into a black limo sitting out front and assumes it's his.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Who else? He's down. Yeah, that's mine. I'm English, by the way.
We all ride around in limos, yes. This is how I get to work every day.
Yeah. I figured you guys all drive around in lorries.
You just wanted to say lorry, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I really did. But yeah, those are great. This is a good episode. It was mostly about accents, but that's good. That's good. This is the stuff we need to talk about. We'll move on tomorrow to minute 58. But thank you guys for being here. Can you guys come back?
I'll have to see. Maybe.
I don't know, guys. I think I'm gonna have to jump out here. I mean, the door is not opening. What's going on? John, can you get out of this car? John!
Smoke the cigar. It'll make you feel better. Until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
Oh, I've been Niall.
I've been John.
This minute will self-destruct if not properly stored. See you.